So just a reminder that we will be taking the offering up this way every week. You won't use the little black boxes. COVID's over, so we're gonna stay away from the little black boxes and we'll use the offering plates. Turn in the back of your hymnal, number 670. Number 670. Believe it or not, this is being taped and put on YouTube. And I had a fellow that called me this week and said, I'm so glad that you folks had the responsive reading. So we're gonna do the responsive reading, the risen Savior. If you can stand while we do this, it would be great. I'll be reading the darker print if you follow along and read responsively the lighter. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, lo, and I have told you. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail, and they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, when the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word this morning. Please have a seat. So not only am I the interim pastor, I have to walk around a little bit. Not only am I the interim pastor, Ruth, I'm the hospice chaplain. So I have my people, the number vary. Sometimes I'll have 18 or 20, and then boom, they're gone. and I have more. I'm assigned them by Mary Lou. Mary Lou assigns me to those people, or them to me. So this week, there was a fellow called me, and I talked to him a month ago, and I said, I want to come and see Mother. Your mother, she's only 97. He said, I can handle it all on my own. I said, oh, okay. I'm glad to talk with you. If you need me to come, you have my number. So I get the call. Mary Lou is here. The boss came to see the church. We're going to have a memorial service here in May. So Mary Lou came, and she was here, and the phone call came. And I said to Mary Lou and another chaplain, we'll have lunch. I'll go out to visit. So I went out, and here's this dear lady, 97. She's worn out. You know, she's just worn out. And her son, who lives with her, oh, I want Mom to stick around. I don't want her to go. And, you know, and he certainly had, some reasons why. And I listened to the reasons why. And then I said, but she's not interested in that at this moment. She's interested in going. She's a believer. And she's content with going. And so I stayed and prayed with him. And I'm not sure if he was a believer or not, but we talked about different things. And I stayed for a while, and she passed away later that day. But as I got in my car, I got another call. And the other call was from the hospice nurse. And she said, Pastor, could you go out 5 miles more out the road? We have another one that's declining. They call that they're transitioning. He is transitioning, 65, 66 years old. That's not old, is it? No, it's not. And so I went out, and here is a family, 20 people surrounding his bed. I usually don't have an audience like that. I couldn't shoo them out of the room. I had never met the guy before. And I said to him, and I knew his name, and I read his history. They sent me the history. And I said, and I say this pretty often, they've sent for the preacher. And he was alert and oriented. He knew what was happening. I said, they've sent for the preacher. Are you the preacher? I said, I'm the preacher. And I've come to talk to you about your spiritual life. He was responding, and I said, are you religious? And I usually ask that before I ask if you're a Christian. Are you religious? No, but I believe in God. And he said, I want to go to heaven. I know about heaven. And I said, I do too. And I know how to get there. And this has happened to me a couple times. Remember, I told you one time about the girl in Ridgeway that said, I want to go to heaven. And so I sat there with all these people around. They're crying. His mom was there. And usually, like I said, I don't have a lot of people there. And I went through the plan of salvation, and I said to him, Mark, if you pray and if you're sincere, God will hear you, and you can go to heaven when you die. So I prayed the sinner's prayer, and I asked him to pray after me. And I said, there you are, Mark. Is that all it takes? I said, it is. All these years, you only needed to believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, confess your sin, and he will forgive your sin, and you can go to be with him forever. And everybody started crying. The whole 20 of them heard God's word. Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian and God puts me in those positions? And I'm not bragging and say, oh, Pat, Pastor Baker on the back. But I do want to proclaim the word of Jesus Christ and the message that that man died 2 days later. Off he went. And there he is. And I thank the Lord for putting me in that position. Now, the Lord has put me in this position. I can't stand the thought of where we'd been here in this church before. It gets me. But I like the thought of where we're going and what God is going to do. So let's not come to worship discouraged and say, oh, look, there's just a handful of people. It can happen. We can grow. And we're just going to trust God in this matter and put feet to our trust and our actions. Amen? Amen. Amen. The Lord is risen. We've got the word. Christ is our Savior. He's our sanctifier, our healer, our coming King. And the world needs to know it. This world that we find ourselves in. Okay, I better get to the sermon. Okay, get there. So today we're going to consider two things. We're going to consider the Last Supper and the resurrection. And we have these accounts in Luke chapter 22. They'll be on the screen here in just a second. Luke 22, then 1 Corinthians, then Luke again. And he took the bread, and this is Christ who's acting here. And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, the 1 Corinthians section. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And Luke 24, 1 through 6. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day will rise again. Don't forget what he said. Don't forget that he will rise again. Now, I find that if I start with an illustration that I'm pretty much familiar with, that you folks will get a better sermon, all right? I hope a better sermon. And I have an illustration about East Ridge. Does anybody here know about East Ridge? Renee?
Yes.
It's out the road. Raise your hand. You have to. You know where East Ridge is. In December of 1953, I was 5 years old. And my grandparents, Elijah Porter Baker and Sarah Baker, and two friends drove on Route 66 to California. Joni's gone on a bus trip on Route 66 in a couple weeks. They drove to California on Route 66 with the DeHavens. And they went to my Aunt Ruth's in Los Angeles, had Thanksgiving, spent a week or so, a couple weeks, and then they were on their way back. And they crossed the country again and got to Akron, Ohio, and a tractor trailer jackknifed in front of them, and they went under that trailer. Grandma was hurt very severely, broken pelvis and a broken leg and her arm. And Granddad, who we all called Pup, had serious head injuries. And Pup passed away a couple days before Christmas. And the funeral was held at East Ridge at that Methodist church out there, at the East Ridge Cemetery, which Renee knows about. So I was, as I said, just a few years old, 5 years old, and Pup didn't survive. He passed away. And the funeral came up after Christmas. I had to stay at my mother's house, and I was 5 years old, and I had to sleep in a crib. I didn't like that at all. They put me in a crib at night. It was horrendous for a five-year-old to have to be in a crib. I remember that. And in the morning, they said, "You stay in that crib." So I stayed in the crib, and I went to the funeral. Aunt Helen carried me from the church where they had a viewing, and I saw Pup in the casket, and they had a shroud so that you couldn't see. He had head injuries, I remember thinking, why doesn't he get up? All these people were here. And then they closed the casket, not understanding all about it, you know, then we walked across from the church. They carried the body over to the gravesite and had the internment. And I didn't know all those big words. All I knew is that he wasn't responding. And I can remember saying, what are all these things, grave markers? The people died and they're buried under there. And I thought, oh my, I don't want to die. And I pondered that for a long time. That was something for a five-year-old kid to be thinking about that. The message for today is that Christ was not buried and left there till the resurrection, but Christ arose. That our Lord is alive and well on planet Earth and in heaven, in the hearts of us. So today we're not gathering to mourn the loss of Jesus. We're gathered around life and the life that we have because of Christ. We remember his sacrifice. In 1 Corinthians 11:24, it says, "This is my body, which is given for you." It's in there. And I was looking for an illustration, and I found one in a book I had about the Civil War. These illustrations are important. Whenever Christ spoke to crowds, he had parables for them so that they would understand what he's talking about. Sometimes it slips by. So I've chosen some illustrations as I go through and share this word with you. And it's a story from the Civil War. I was amazed to find out that during the Civil War, there were, and somebody has these numbers from somewhere, 105,400 Confederate deserters. 200,000 Union deserters in the Civil War. And most of the deserters came from Pennsylvania and New York and Ohio, North Carolina and Virginia. The Union Army actually bribed some of these Confederate guys to desert. We promise that you will be paid a pension if you desert after this war is over. So these guys walked out in great mass. They joined because they were conscripted, or somebody came through the hills and said, "We need you," and they joined up and became soldiers, and they thought it would be, like Mr. Trump says, just a few weeks. But it ended up 4 years, and I'm not criticizing, I'm just making that point. How long will it go? And they thought, "I've done my part," and off they went home. And many of them were never heard from concerning these desertions, but some were caught and they were put to death. But one man, one soldier who deserted, his mom wrote to President Lincoln, and she pled the case for the boy. And President Lincoln gave him a pardon, and the boy had it in his pocket. And he said, "I'm not going to take it. If I am guilty, I deserve to die." And he was executed with the pardon in his pocket. Now, that hopefully has gotten your attention. The tragedy of today is that Jesus paid the price, and people, the world, is not turning to eternal life. The guy said to me this week, "Is that all there is?" And there's a little popular thing on Facebook or somewhere along the way where they tell of a fellow that was on the cross next to Christ, and I mentioned this last week, and he died and went to paradise. When he got there, "Oh my gosh, where am I?" And people said to him, "How'd you get here? You don't deserve to be there." Well, we don't deserve it, but we have eternal life through Christ. And so today, when you hold that portion of bread and we partake of these elements, remember that Christ took your sentence. He died in your stead. This is a big thing. And we say that so often that it becomes commonplace. Today, think of it. You don't have to experience all the pain of hell because Christ has experienced it in our stead. Rather than we experience it, he does. And we can look and say, "It should have been me," but it need not be you. You know that. And the second thing we see is we receive his covenant. 1 Corinthians 11:25. It says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. the new agreement. I'm making a new agreement with you folks. I was chaplain at McKinley Health Center after I left here. I was there for 13 years, 20 hours a week. That's where God put me. And there was one man who was there for 5 years, and I would take communion around to every individual room. No, he said, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I can't do it. I can't take communion. And I felt so bad. And finally, just before he died, he realized that he was forgiven. And I was glad that that happened. Communion is not a reward for the people that are declared righteous by God. It's grace for the broken, people whose hearts are broken. This has been a week. I've been to jail. I've talked with prisoners. I've been with three people who have died. And people say, how can you do that? How can you go through all that and all that tension and all that goes with it? I just have to say, this is where God wants me, and he put me here, and I'm content to be where he puts me. And he gives me the words to say. What are you going to say when you go to prison to talk to those people? I have no clue. But I'll be like Jeremiah. God will put the words in my mouth. Boom. And he'll give me the words to speak. I was in a trial. I wasn't on trial, but I was on the jury. The judge told me after I was put on that jury, I couldn't believe they picked a preacher to go on the jury. But I was on it, and I heard this story for 3 days. It was horrendous. We were excused to go into the room to talk over the case. We were there 5 minutes. And the jury foreman said, how many say guilty? All 13 of us raised our hands. There was no discussion. They said, let's go back. I said, wait a minute. We better sit down and eat our free pizza. They're going to give us pizza for supper. We've got to get the free meal out of this whole deal. And we have to at least let them think that we're talking it over. Nothing to talk over. Well, it was horrendous. But I saw the guy stand when the verdict was read, and he was shaking. He needed to shake. He deserved that punishment. If I could have taken the punishment for him, I would say, I'll do it, but I didn't have to. But Jesus took our punishment. He took that sentence of death and has given us life. It's great to be a Christian. It's great to have fellowship one with another. So we're celebrating his resurrection. I got to sit down a minute. I watched Charles Stanley, and he sat down 3 times. You know, his back's giving him trouble, so I'm going to try to go along with Dr. Stanley. He did that this morning. Every now and then I sit down and rest those legs and that back. So we're celebrating today his resurrection. Luke 24:6 says, he is not here, but is risen. We often hear accounts of cultures where, especially the Egyptians, whenever they had a pharaoh that died, or any common people that died, they would mummify their cats and their dogs and their chickens or whatever they had, and put them in the tomb with them, in the grave with bread and, and some of Renee's cakes and things like that, you know, that they would put in there for a long while so that they could provide for the spirit of the dead. They'll have food to eat wherever they're going. They put trinkets and jewels and gold, and they were all an extension of earthly life. And they still do that in many cultures. But you know, whenever those people hear the gospel and they accept the gospel in our modern day, in our age, as our missionaries go and share the word, and they find Christ and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, things change in their lives. No longer are they giving food for the dead, but they hold to the bread of life, as we will. My mother always said, "Ray, you're a dreamer." I'm like, that used to bug me when she would say, "You're a dreamer," but I kind of like it now. In my older age, we dream. If when I start speaking about it, I gotta watch, be careful, or they're gonna put me in the manor somewhere. But I imagine, I have to go this way. I can imagine chatter between the people that knew and experienced seeing Christ after his resurrection. People in that community that saw the Savior, people in that community that went through that whole week of devastation, and their Lord was nailed to the cross. Can you imagine sitting around the table? Can you imagine going over to Gene Knapp's house? And we just experienced all that, and we're sitting having a cup of coffee, or sitting having a biscuit, whatever they ate, and they say, "You know what happened?" And they told their children, and they told their neighbors, and they told people that were interested in this whole account. They didn't have a Bible to look at. And it went from word of mouth through all the years till it was recorded by Luke and John, Matthew and Mark. But they sat around and talked about it. And I like to picture that. I like to picture that because that needs to be our same reaction. But all these years have gone by, and there's a lot behind us, and a lot of years maybe for some of us ahead. What do we do with this message? Don't hold it in. Speak the word. Share the love of Christ with people. He'll make a way. He'll make a spot for you to get that word out. Amen? Okay, don't fall asleep on me. Billy Graham said about the resurrection, "God proved his love on the cross, but he proved his power at the resurrection. The power of God to forgive our sin, to make us a new creation." So today we're not remembering a memory, we're encountering a living Christ. Now we have to proclaim his return. 1 Corinthians 11:26. That we proclaim the Lord's death. How long? Till he comes. A family left an empty chair at the table every Thanksgiving, in Christmas, dinner. Grandpa's chair Please, Judy, don't do this. All right, okay. It's Grandpa's chair. And one of the little grandkids that came along later said, when's he coming back? Not coming back. But our Savior came back. And he filled that chair. Our King is coming and we wait with bated breath. We're glad of the thought of Jesus returning. And every time we take communion, we're leaving a chair open. We're saying he is coming back and we remember him. Before we come to the table, there's a tale of two brothers that were arguing. It was over money, you know, the estate, mom's estate or somebody's estate. And they were arguing about the money and it was going back and forth. And they hadn't spoken in years. And here they ended up at the same church one Sunday morning when it was communion day. And the pastor said, you can be right with the head. You can't be right with the head if you aren't right with the body. You can't be right with God if you're not right with the body of believers. And that saying, as the brothers met in the middle of the church and sought for forgiveness from each other, communion is not just vertical, but it's also horizontal. If there's something that is between you and someone else, maybe not someone in this building, but somewhere else, today's the day in your heart that you would confess that and ask the Lord to help you make it right. Is there a sin I need to confess? Is there someone I need to go to? We used to hear about that all the time in church. If you have something against someone, you better go talk to them. One guy got up and went back and talked to everybody in that little church on the hill. It took all day for that service to end. Can't we get out of here? But he made it right. Or if you're holding on to something that is in your spirit, something that you know is wrong, confess that today as we come to this table. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we remember your sacrifice. We receive your grace, we celebrate your victory, and we await your return. Meet us at this table today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Gentlemen, if you'll come and join me here in the front,